Book of Jeremiah, if you would. Chapter 3. Jeremiah, the third chapter. We're going to read one verse, basically, for our text and our starting point. And that's going to be verse number 20. Jeremiah 3, verse 20. The Lord speaking here. Surely as a wife treacherously departed from her husband, so have you dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. We want to preach on a message we would entitle a treacherous wife. A treacherous wife. Throughout Scripture, Israel is referenced as, referred to as, the wife of God. Over in verse number 14, you'll notice the word of the Lord saying, "Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion." Israel is the wife of God. Many things are said in the Old Testament prophets concerning that title, that relationship between God and the people of Israel. The whole book of Hosea has to do with marital, dysfunctional relationship, and all of it represents for us Israel's relationship with God. And here, the Lord Himself refers to Israel as a treacherous wife. A treacherous wife. The word treacherous means to act covertly, pillage, deal deceitfully, to transgress, or to be unfaithful. God is saying all of those things were true concerning Israel's dealing with Him. They had acted covertly, they had pillaged, they had dealt deceitfully, they had transgressed against Him, they were unfaithful. Just as a wife who leaves her husband to be unfaithful, God says Israel is a treacherous wife. All through Jeremiah, that treachery is related to us. In verse 1 through 5 of Jeremiah 3 here, we see this expounded a little bit. Chapter 3, verse 1, "They say, if a man put away his wife, and she go from him and become another man's, shall he return unto her again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted?" Now listen to what God says about His people. "But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers, yet return again to me, saith the Lord. Lift up thine eyes unto the high places where the idolatries took place, where the idols were set up, where the fornications and the adulteries took place. In false worship," He says, "lift up thine eyes into the high places and see where thou hast been lain with. In the ways hast thou set for them as the Arabian in the wilderness, and thou hast polluted the land with thy whoredoms and with thy wickedness. Therefore the showers have been withholden, and there hath been no latter rain, and thou hast a hoarse forehead. Thou refusest to be ashamed. Wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, My father, thou art the guide of my youth. Will he reserve his anger forever? Will he keep it to the end? Behold, thou hast spoken and done evil things as thou couldest. This is an ugly picture. People of Israel were a wretched, wicked, backslidden, idolatrous, unfaithful people to God, who chose them above all the nations of the world, not because of anything they had, but because of his love for them. And he brought them into himself in this relationship as husband and wife, and they dealt treacherously with God. Now, we're at a point here in the book of Jeremiah where both sides of the divided kingdom are referenced. You have Israel, which is called a treacherous wife. But you also have the divided kingdom, the other side, Judah. And I want you to notice, as the treachery of Israel is laid forth here, I want you to notice what God has to say about Judah, the other side of Israel, during this divided time. Notice verse 6 and 7, chapter 3. The Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done, Israel's side of the kingdom? She is gone upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. And I said after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me, but she returned not. Now notice last statement in verse 7. And her treacherous sister Judah saw it. God identifies Judah as a treacherous wife. Now the nation of Israel was the wife of God, but because they're in the divided time, he refers to both of them as his wife. And here, Judah is called treacherous. But I want you to notice in the very last statement of verse number 7 that Judah saw. She saw, she witnessed the treachery of Israel. She witnessed how that side of the kingdom had been unfaithful to God over and over again, in spite of all the warnings and all the calls to come back and repent. Judah had witnessed, she had seen all of these things. Now notice verse 8. And I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. Also. We have Israel, that side of the kingdom, called a treacherous wife. One who dealt deceitfully, transgressed, and was unfaithful to God. And verse number 7 tells us that Judah, that side of the kingdom, saw it and witnessed it. But the very last verse in verse number 8, the word also, means that Judah not only saw Israel's treachery, but she mimicked, she copied that treachery. She did it also. She did it also. Now in verse number 6, the Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She is gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. Verse number 6, he references the time when he said to Jeremiah, look at the treachery of Israel. And God uses his word, his prophet. During the time of Josiah, Josiah is referenced here in verse number 6. Josiah is used to bring about what we commonly call a revival in Judah. A repenting and a coming back to a degree from following Israel's example. But I want you to notice something he says in verse number 10. And yet for all this, her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but feignedly, saith the Lord. This tells us that Israel, in all of her treachery, was witnessed by Judah, mimicked by Judah, and that during the reign of Josiah there was a revival, but it wasn't 100% total sincere revival. It says they only feignedly came back. And in fact, as we go to the record in Chronicles, and which we're not going to do now, but if you do, it references that when Josiah brought about his reformations, that was only during his lifetime. So Judah came back, but they didn't come back all the way. They feigned, or they faked some of that. And as soon as Josiah was gone, those wicked things returned. And then I want you to notice in verse number 11, and I can't explain this. I can't fully understand all that is implied here, but get what verse 11 tells us. And the Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah. Now, as you know, and you think about the Old Testament, Israel was the worst of the divided kingdom. Judah was the better, we would say. Judah had more good kings than Israel. The captivity of Israel came much sooner than Judah's captivity because of their wickedness. So we tend to classify Israel as the worst and the more wicked of the divided kingdoms. But the Word of God says here that as Judah saw Israel's treachery, mimicked that treachery, only feigned or partially returned unto the Lord, that God seems to say Judah was not as justified as Israel. Seems like they, because of their witnessing this and it not having the right effect upon them, because of their copying the bad example of their sister, because of their only partially coming back to the Lord. However you want to understand this, it seems to imply that God held them doubly accountable at this particular passage of Scripture. And from verse number 12 to our text, verse number 20, Judah refused also to repent and get right with God. So we have the nation of Israel in a marriage relationship with God. being identified by God and studying the prophets, you're going to see this over and over again. You're going to see more and more details of their wickedness. You see them described and you see them laid forth as a treacherous wife. And you see Judah seeing their sins, copying their sins, and being held more accountable because of that. And they're being called treacherous also. Now, our churches of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are espoused to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Israel is the wife of God. The Lord's New Testament Baptist churches is going to be the bride of Christ. And I want us to see here that by Israel's great wickedness, they laid forth an example to Judah that Judah should have learned from and not gone into the same course of treachery. But Judah did not learn from it. Seemingly, they became more accountable to God by copying it. Now, there's been many churches represented here in the course of this conference. And it is from these churches and churches of like precious faith that Christ is going to take His bride. Ephesians tells us that Christ gave Himself, shed His blood for His church, that He might present it to Himself, a glorious church without spot. And I want us to think for just a while tonight about not becoming a treacherous wife. I believe in these days in which we live, every church here tonight represented, every church that has been represented in the course of this conference, we need to be challenged not to become treacherous wives to our Lord. And just as Judah had the example of Israel and should have learned from it and not made those same mistakes, we have many examples of treacherous wives in relationship to New Testament Baptist churches that we would do well to take notice of these things. Learn from these things by the grace of God, not repeat these things, and not ever be found guilty of being a treacherous wife to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There is no church represented here tonight, no church that has been represented in this conference that had never better assumed that, boy, it's a lock. They'll never fall. They'll never fail. They'll never do like such and such church. It's only by the grace of God. And I preach this at our church. And I want to say at home, but then that'll confuse you because we're at home. But my home is in Wauseon. I preach this at Faith Baptist Church, my home. And I laid before the church the fact that we have many references to churches that represent treacherous wives that we had better learn from and consider. All of our churches had better. When the Bible says these things are written for our learning, it's not just the Old Testament things. The whole book is written for our learning. It's not just the Old Testament examples, but we find many examples in the New Testament of what churches can do to bring upon them the displeasure of the Lord. that would get them the label of being a treacherous wife, and we had better guard by the grace of God the churches where God has placed us, lest we follow that example. And like Judah ended up being called a treacherous wife, just like Israel, may we not make the same mistakes we see represented in Scripture. I first of all thought about the church at Corinth. They are church. New Testament Baptist Church. They're identified as one of the Lord's churches. God breathed His Word, delivered His Word through the Apostle Paul to them, identifying them as a church. But I tell you what, as you study the letter of 1 Corinthians, you find that the Corinthian church had many, many problems and many, many issues that if we don't take note of those things, we'll find those very same things in our churches. The church at Corinth was a very divided church. I tell you what, there's no shortage of division in New Testament Baptist churches in our land today. God's not pleased. He's not pleased. That wasn't a nice rose-colored sermonette that God sent to the Corinthians there in the first letter. It was a harsh letter, letter of great rebuke. That church was filled with division. That church was filled with worldliness. That church was filled with pride, even over great sins. Paul had to write to that church about separation. And so, you know, there's a Titus in the house. Separation has already popped its little ugly head up into the message. We've heard about maintaining our salt and maintaining our light that we might be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. A great part of that is by our New Testament Baptist churches maintaining their holiness and their separation. We're told in Scripture to earnestly contend for the faith. That's the whole faith. We're told that the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ are the pillar and ground of the truth. That's all truth. Our churches need to be places of unity, need to be places where the world is driven out at all costs, even if it means discipline and excluding someone. The world must be pushed out and the world must be kept out. The standards of separation cannot be laid aside for popularity. We're never told to lay apart those things that separate us from the world for the sake of winning the world to Christ. We're to live godly, holy lives. The church at Corinth had to be rebuked. The churches of Galatia had to be rebuked. Paul was amazed that they were so soon removed. Our churches must maintain the pure gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Must keep any hint of Arminianism and works and gimmicks and game playing out of our assemblies. We read the book of Ephesians, and what a great book that is, but the assembly at Ephesus gets mentioned again later on in the Bible. Book of Revelation. And the Ephesian church was doctrinally sound. The Ephesian church was practically sound. As far as I can tell, there wasn't anything wrong that you would by looking upon them say was incorrect with the Ephesian church. But see, the Lord saw something that would not be visible to us with the eye. He saw that they had left their first love. We've heard about that in the course of this conference. It's not enough for our churches, Faith Baptist Church, Home Baptist Church, the other churches that are represented. It's not enough for us to be sound in the faith. It's not enough for us to earnestly contend for the faith. It's not enough for us to be mechanically right. It's not enough for us to be able to say, oh my, aren't we doing everything right? We must be totally in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that agape love, that choice of loving, because He has first loved us. True agape love always demonstrates itself in action. When you think about love and you think about God, for God so loved the world, well, what clue do we have that's true? He gave His only begotten Son. Do we love the Lord like we should? Can we say where we are a member, the church where we assemble, loves the Lord as they should? Their only motivation is love for Christ. That the brothers and sisters in that church love one another, not as is optional in Scripture, but as is commanded in Scripture. Amen. Loving a brother or sister in Christ who is a member of the same church that you are is not optional. We're commanded to do that. And again, we are commanded to love, and agape love is going to show itself. You're going to love them, and you're going to prove it by your actions. Pergamos. That's a New Testament church, isn't it? And they tolerated heresy. We can't tolerate the slightest heresy. The slightest compromise. Let them call us legalists. Let them call us hard-nosed. Let them call us anything they want to. There's no room for the slightest compromise of truth. It doesn't matter what year in which we live. Church at Thyatira was an idolatrous church. Church committing spiritual fornication. Church that had a woman there by the name of Jezebel. They weren't doing what they should have. Relationship to her. The church at Sardis was a church that the Lord two or three times there commands or encourages them to be watchful. Be watchful. Watch the things that remain. You have a few names. Will they go also? Will they fall also? Better be watchful. These are times we have to be watchful. We need to be looking for Jesus Christ, folks. And I think most of the days of our lives go by without much thought that Christ is coming. I think there will be many of a Baptist church member taken totally by surprise when the Lord returns. And we need to be watchful against sin, because He is a roaring lion seeking whom He may devour. That includes our churches. He hates God's people. Next to that, He hates the Lord's churches. He hates your church. He hates our church. Laodicea, the lukewarm church. How many lukewarm Baptist churches are in the world today? Only God knows. But how many of us, Pastor, how many of us are members? How many lukewarm Baptist churches have been represented in this conference? I'm not trying to be offensive. Judah saw the treachery of Israel, did not benefit from it, but mimicked it, and brought the judgment of God upon her. As churches of the Lord Jesus Christ, espoused to the Lord Jesus Christ, from which Christ is going to take His bride, and I believe in a Baptist bride, it's the only way you can make Scripture make sense. as we think about the bad examples, we'd better learn. Learn from these examples in the Word of God. I've heard messages from a couple men in the course of this conference about how actually good we have it. And that sounds foreign when we think of how wicked the day in which we live. But I have to acknowledge they were right. We're as fat and sassy as we've ever been. Raise your hand. Let me know how many New Testament Baptists are going hungry because of Christ. Don't have a roof over their head because of their stand for Jesus Christ. How many churches are represented here tonight that's meeting under an apple tree somewhere? We're so blessed. And consequently, there are many Laodicean churches. We're fat and sassy and we're comfortable. I believe the letters of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John was to a church. And there was the Diotrephes there. Tolerated. How much grief, how much sorrow, how much hurt, how much hindrance did that Diotrephes cause to that church there? Diotrephes, they can't be tolerated. They can't be overlooked. I preached this at home, and I brought this thought out, and I'll do the same thing I did at home. I'm 54 years old, and I've been going to New Testament Baptist churches all 54 years of my life. I've been in the ministry 34 years, pastoring for 34 years. And I look back and I see a lot of churches that are no more. I can think of many churches that no longer stand for the truth. We going to learn anything? I ask the church very quickly, name 12 churches right now, 12 churches in the state of Michigan. If you think about it long enough, you might be able to come up with that many or a few more. But let me tell you, folks, there aren't as many as there used to be. I can remember when there were New Testament Baptist churches, seemed like scattered all over southern Michigan. I can remember when in northern Michigan, I can remember at least 7 churches up in northern Michigan. And they all disappeared. Except for Traverse City. And in recent years, God has risen up a new lighthouse, praise the Lord, in Cadillac. And I know people want to get critical and say, well, you know, they were probably not all that sound and not established all that well. Well, as a young boy, I knew the missionary that preached the gospel up in northern Michigan. And he wore himself out preaching that gospel. And we can't say that those churches up there, none of them, they didn't have good sound men. There's several here in this service right now who could raise their hand and say, I pastored in northern Michigan. Brother Cummins pastored in northern Michigan. Brother Channel pastored in northern Michigan. I pastored in northern Michigan. Roger Jones pastored in northern Michigan. Others. And yet, many of those are gone now. Name 12 churches in the state of Ohio. I'm talking about churches that you could grant and receive a letter to right now. I'm not just talking about those who have the name Baptist on the sign. I'm not just talking about those who still have some kind of a semblance of being a Baptist church. I'm talking about true churches that you could grant a letter to, receive a letter from right now. Name how many in the state of Ohio. How many can you think of in the state of Indiana? Most of our Kentucky folks are gone tonight. But I tell you what, Kentucky is dotted with many a used-to-be churches. Dotted with many a church that you could not grant a letter to or receive a letter to from today. Many have fallen. Many are closed. Ere for the grace of God we may come together next year if our Savior has not returned and someone, some church assembled with us in this conference might be no more. There's churches all over. I mean, somebody told me, I think 40 or 50 churches they knew of that didn't have pastors. That sounded a little high, but could it be? I know of many. I know of many churches that are down to just four or five people, can't find a pastor who's willing to come. How long are they going to last? How long are they going to survive? Israel was a treacherous wife. And Israel witnessed all of this and was considered the better of the divided kingdom. But instead of learning from the treachery of Israel, she mimicked it, copied it, did the same thing, ended up with the same end. As we study the scriptures, there are many churches represented in scripture, represented as having error in them. Most of the churches there in Asia, most of those, I think five out of the seven, might be wrong there, I think five out of the seven were told to repent, had things they needed to get right, or else what? I'll remove my presence. We need to be challenged in these evil times, wicked times, to contend for the faith, to be watching and looking for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Will the Lord find faith when He comes? Well, I want more than anything for Him to find Faith Baptist Church, Wauseon, Ohio, when He comes. Will your assembly be here? Will all the assemblies represented during the course of this conference be here? Or will there be found some treacherous wives? All we need to be challenged. By the grace of God, we've heard it. Brother Grigsby preached, I believe, on God can. We can. We can, folks. Let's leave this conference challenged more than ever to be found faithful when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. God help us as pastors. God help us as members of New Testament Baptist churches. Having done all to stand, stand. And to hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I am not going to get into the issue of the specifics on who's going to be in the bride. But I want to. And I believe that's a godly desire. And I want to see as many of Faith Baptist Church in Wauseon in the Bride of Christ. That's God's business. But we must strive to enter in. God help us. Thank you, brother.